You can turn to Romans 10. So there is one word in the gospel that is a great inclusive word, comprehending all that God Almighty has accomplished in our lives. And that word is salvation. Salvation is an incredible word. Most of Christianity sees it in a very narrow context in a very limited way. But the word salvation is so big and so broad. It includes all that God has done for man and all that he does and can do in our lives forever. So Romans chapter 10, of course, the one way that Christianity sees it, if you've ever driven down south, you see neon signs that say Jesus saves everywhere. And he does. And, you know, when Adam was born, formed and created, he was a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. When he fell, when he sinned, when he disobeyed, he lost that spirit. And so God, through the ages, was planning his plan of redemption. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, and made that Holy Spirit available again. And so when we are born again, we receive that spirit. We're saved. The opposite of eternal life is eternal death, right? So in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, saved is salvation is a noun, saved is a verb. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here the word saved and salvation, you know, there's two words, sozo and soteria. Sozo means to make sound or whole or save, preserve from danger or loss or destruction. So it means to save from death and judgment, to bring positive blessings. Here in this traditional, limited sense of Christianity, man needs to be saved. And that's certainly one of the great things that God did for us and how important it is that he made salvation for us. It means to be made whole. So we weren't whole when we were body and soul, but when we received that spirit, now we are whole. Let's go to chapter 5 of Romans. Chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So part of that saving is, you know, if you look at Revelation, which everybody's so afraid of, and Armageddon and all that other stuff, really doesn't affect us because we are saved from the wrath to come. It says that a number of places within the New Testament. But part of that salvation is we're not only saved from eternal death and judgment, because once we're born again and we are God's children, we've already been judged. We've been judged and made righteous. But we're also saved from the wrath to come. That's a nice thing to know, because a lot of Christians still think they're going to go through it. Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate for them. That's a lot of worrying about nothing. For if, verse 10, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're saved by his life. You know, he paid the price and died for our sins, but we're saved by his life. He was raised from the dead. You know, and we have that eternal life in us. We are saved as a result of God's love, is what it says in verse 8, right? God commended his love toward us. So it is a result of God's love that we are saved and that we have all that we have. The Old Testament is full of the word salvation, but eternal life was not available. So that's not part of their salvation, is it? Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14 and verse 13. This is when Israel has left Egypt. And they're running away from the Egyptians. And in verse 12, you know, they're all upset because, let's start in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after him, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. You know, God had taken them out of bondage. They didn't ask him to take them out of bondage. He decided to liberate them and do it. They were pretty happy being slaves. They just didn't want to work so hard. And so they didn't pay attention to God's word. God said he had made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would take them and put them in a promised land, the land of milk and honey. But when they saw the Egyptian army coming after them, instead of focusing on the promise of God, they focused on the sense knowledge. We do it a lot, don't we? Sometimes, you know, you get sick and you focus on the symptoms rather than focusing on the promise of God. So that's what they did. And they said unto Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? I don't know what difference it makes where you die, but they said, well, at least in Egypt we would have, you know, been there. Is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. What's the difference if you die in the wilderness or die in Egypt or die in Florida or die in Honolulu in New York or whatever? Anyway, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay, here's salvation. Salvation of the Lord here has to do with being rescued, saved, but rescued, delivered from the situation. So he says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, where are they? Well, the Egyptian army is chasing them, and they're at the Red Sea. And he says, go forward. But lift up thou rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and so on and so forth. And what happened? He wiped out the Egyptian army and Pharaoh, and the children of Israel got safely to the other side and were delivered. They were rescued. The word salvation in the Old Testament is the word Yeshua. What does that sound like?
Yahweh.
Well, it sounds like Joshua, right? Which is Jesus in Greek. It's the word salvation. And let's go to verse chapter 15. You know, Joshua means savior, right? Chapter 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. They had a song to commemorate the victory over the Egyptians. They sang this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And you know, that's the one thing that God is still for us today in the New Testament. He is our salvation by way of his son, Jesus Christ, right? He is our salvation in every situation, in every circumstance. So when you look at the word salvation, you always have to look at the context, because it can refer to being saved, having eternal life. It can be referred to in the sense of being delivered or rescued from a terrible situation, or having being healed, or any other thing that you would possibly need. God can bring us salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at Psalm 3. What a great word. And it's all-inclusive of God's love and grace and mercy and what he's willing to do for us. Psalm 3, verse 8. It says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. You know, salvation is of the Lord. There are times in the Old Testament where God would say, you know, your salvation is not in your horses or your chariots. It's not in your might. It's in me. And that's what it is. It's not in horses or chariots. In the Old Testament, salvation really relates to rescue, saving from danger or deliverance from calamity. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. In the New Testament, it's much more than that. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is about Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. Chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. It's right after 1 Chronicles. There is no 3 Chronicles. Okay, verse 12. No, verse 14, sorry. Then upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jaleel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So it gives you this lineage, but it came upon Jehaziel, and it tells you where he comes from. And Asaph was one of the guys that was with David and wrote some of the Psalms. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. They were in a meeting. They had gathered all the people because Israel was going to be attacked. And Jehoshaphat called all the people together and said, we need to pray to God for deliverance in this situation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah. So this is the guy, and he's speaking by revelation. So these are the words of God speaking to them. He said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Mm-hmm. What a great thing. You know, that's true of us today. The battle is not ours, it's God's. You know, my wife prayed, you know, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. You know, that's true. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Part of that salvation is that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we're more than conquerors in every situation. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Woohoo. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And so that's what happened. They went out, they didn't fight, and God wiped out the enemy. And then they went out and took the spoils, you know. That's a pretty nice way to fight a battle. They should take note of that in Israel today. Probably have a lot easier time. But again, Jehoshaphat goes to God, he calls the people together, and then God works in a man and gives him the Spirit of God, and he presents God's word, they believe God's word, and they see the deliverance, they see the salvation of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 12. You know, Isaiah, as well as most of the prophets, you know, you think, oh, wow, this guy was such a great prophet and he did all these great things and stuff. It wasn't an easy life, because usually the job that they got was a crappy one. They were always sent to people that didn't want to believe. And when they said the things that didn't make the people happy, the people would try to persecute them. And in some place, in some instances, they actually killed prophets. So here's Isaiah. He's one of those guys. And he goes, behold, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, and the word Lord is Jehovah, so it says, Jehovah, Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So it starts out with God is my salvation, and it says, Jehovah, Jehovah, and then it says, and he will become my salvation. He will deliver me. I have confidence. I trust in God that he's going to take care of the situation, and he's going to make me whole. He's going to deliver me in whatever I need. What a great thing. When we are born again, let's go to Ephesians. When we are born again, we become body, soul, and spirit. We have spirit life, which is superior to breath life. You know, breath life is temporary. You know, when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead and came back, we don't know what kind of life was in his body. He had a spirit life. He could eat, he could drink, but he could walk through walls, apparently, appear and disappear. And of course, when he ascended into heaven, he went through the heavens. So it had nothing to do with the speed of light or anything else. He had spirit life. And it says that we will be like him. But we have that spirit life in us when we're born again. We receive that spirit life. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16, what does it say? It's a prayer. We can start in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We are strengthened with might. That's available to us. We can pray for that. When I feel weak or when I need help, I can pray to God and say, I need to be strengthened with might by your Spirit. He's there to infuse us with strength. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Again, this is kind of a prayer. It says in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, strengthened with all might, according to what? His glorious power, right? we can be strengthened with his might, according to his glorious power. How much power does God have? Well, very, very powerful. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? You know, his exceeding greatness of power is to us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, or the heavenlies. You know, how much power and might did that take for God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead? After 3 days, 3 days he was in the ground, dead, totally without breath, life, asleep. And God raised him from the dead and raised him with a new body, that spirit body. And how much did it take him to bring him into heaven? That was God's exceeding great power. And it's he's given it to us who believe, because he's put that spirit within us. We don't have horsepower, we have spirit power. Think about that. We don't have nuclear power, we have spirit power. And that's greater. This is all part of salvation. It is not just being saved from death, but empowered with eternal life. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ refers to the beginning of the chapter where it says, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God. And then verse 2 is a parenthesis. And then in verse 3, it says, concerning his son, which was made of the seed of David according to his flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel of God. It doesn't just refer to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but it refers to all the epistles and all the writings of us concerning Jesus Christ, his son. And it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Unto everyone that believeth. Everyone. Everyone that believes it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, it's salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. We believe the word of God unto salvation. He's given it to us. And that salvation is an all-inclusive word. Anything you need for God to do for you, he can do. Whatever you need, he can do it. Whatever deliverance you need, whatever rescuing, whatever saving, whatever, it's there for you. Just believe his word. Let's go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, I'm lost, hold on. Took too many pages in one shot. Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, we weren't just saved, but we were sealed. You know, in the Old Testament, they were saved, but then they could turn back from God and be unsaved, you know, unrescued, because they, what did they do? You know, like in the book of Judges, you know, they would believe God, and they would do okay, and then they would turn away from God, and they'd go into captivity, and then God would send somebody, a savior, the judges were called saviors, and they would rescue them out of the situation. You know? Well, we are sealed. We're always saved. We always have that eternal life. We always have that access to God. We always have that spirit within us that is greater in us than he that is in the world. It's that spirit power that we always have access to. What a great thing. And then in verse 14 it says, which is the earnest or the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, meaning until the time of the return of Christ. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith or believing and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And that salvation is the end salvation when we get that new body, that spirit life filled body, and we are completely complete in him, totally. You know, we have the same body as Jesus Christ. We are like him as he is. That will be great. No more sickness, no more disease, no more worries, no more tears. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Again, he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We get that salvation, that total and complete deliverance at the end when he comes back for us. So Christianity is different from any other religion in the world. All others have no need of a body or a resurrection. Their existence after death is purely in spirit. We have hope of salvation, a resurrection, a body which is infused with spirit life, and a body that's like Christ, perfect and eternal. How cool is that? You know, we're not just floating around like Casper the Ghost. What a difference. So, what a great thing. Salvation is just, it's always there for us, and it's total and complete in every way, and it's just so much bigger than being saved, but that's part of it, and that's an important part of it. And we have that spirit in us so that we are infused with that inner strength.